In the Stone Chumash, we're on page 70. Okay, we're on chapter 16. Pasuk 10, four lines from the end of the page. Okay? Page 70, or Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yud. Story up to now, Avram is married to Sarai for 10 years, no kids. Sarai says to Avram, you know what, marry my maidservant Hagar. You'll be able to have children from her. And Avram listened to his wife, and he did it. She became pregnant right away, and therefore the maidservant Hagar started making fun of Sarah. And she started telling her, what do you think, you're as great as people talk that you are? You're not so great. I got pregnant right away, and you didn't get pregnant all these years, so I'm greater than you. Don't think you're such a great person. Sarah got upset. She threw out Sarah made her life miserable, and she ran away from the house. Okay? So now, the angel, where was she going? Like Rashi said, she was going back home to Paro, to Egypt. She was the daughter of the king of Egypt. So she was going home. So, the angel finds her on the way, and he says, where are you going? Basically, to start a conversation. Where are you going? You don't have it? I know, chapter 16, Pasuk Yud. Okay, so she says, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah. So, the last pasuk that we learned, the Malach, the angel says to her, you know what, go back home and suffer under her, submit yourself under her domination, it's going to be good. So that's what we're up to now. Four lines from the end of the page. V'yermel Malach Hashem. So, the angel of God says to her like this. Harba arba zarech. I'm going to multiply your children, increase your children greatly. But let you suffer, you won't be able to count them for their abundance. In other words, you're going to have so many children from this b'chal, from these offsprings, that they're not going to be able to count them. Now, he was just using harba arba. It's interesting. The angel said, I will multiply your children. Now, the angel is not multiplying your children, but the angel is speaking as Hashem's representative. He's speaking as God's representative. The angel speaks in first person. Okay, and therefore they won't be able to be counted. And therefore, like the commentaries explain, they didn't say, like Avraham Avinu was told, they're going to be like the dirt, the dust of the ground or the stars of the sky. They just said you're going to have a lot of Arabs. That's it. Okay. V'yomer lo Malach Hashem. Okay. In Pasuk 11, Pasuk Yudalef. The angel says to her, Hina Chorav Yiladet Bein. Behold, you will conceive. Because what happens like this, we learned last time that she got pregnant, Sarah threw her out of the house, and she miscarried. So at the present, she wasn't pregnant. Because like we learned last time, that because Sarah gave her this Ayin Hara, this evil eye, so she miscarried. So now the angel is telling her, go back, you will become pregnant again from Avram. In a chor of Yeladet Bein, that's what he says, you're going to give birth to a son, v'karas shmo Yishmol, and here there's different interpretations. One is, you will call him Yishmol, or you should call him Yishmol. There's two opinions in the commentaries. Did the angel tell her, like a mitzvah, you must call him Yishmol, or, as other mepharshim learn, they didn't say you will. Rashi says it was a command. Rambam says it wasn't a command. It was just basically that this is what's going to be. Page 70 all the way at the bottom. Why? Kishama Hashem Alonyech. Why should you call him Yishmol? Because Yishmol comes from the word Yishma Kel. God hears. So the Malach said, why are you going to call him Yishmol? Because God heard your problems. So therefore Hashem is answering it. Okay, God heard the cries about your affliction, and therefore you're going to get pregnant. Okay? He says like this, V'hu yiyaper adam. What type of kid are you going to have? Here in English it's pronounced a wild ass of a man, meaning a wild animal, basically. Yada bakel. His hands will be against everyone, and everyone's hands against v'yad kol bei. Everybody will hate him. Meaning, simple English, He's going to hate everybody. Everybody's going to hate him. He's not going to be a person that's loved by everybody. In fact, they're going to hate his guts. Okay? Basically, peta adam in Hebrew is an expression that you see a savage. You know, a person not raised normally. They call him a peta adam, meaning like a savage, and he's not raised properly. Okay? Or unrestricted freedom. He would not submit to any discipline, not submit to any rules, not to submit to anything. Okay. And he, over all his brothers shall he dwell. Now what does that mean? He'll be a brigand, meaning everybody will hate him, fight him. He'll be a plunderer. And the Mepharshim explain also, other nations, so it says like this. Even though we learned, not everybody says the Arabs come from Yishmael. It said the Ibn Ezra in the end of Pashas told us, says that today's Arabs are not from Yishmael. But normally accepted, you know, comes most commentaries, is that the Arabs come from Yishmael. So they say like this, technology they're not going to have, but they're going to have wealth of oil. So their elder nations are going to have to rely on them, but at the same time they have to rely on all nations. Because all they have is money, you know, to buy everything, to get everything. So, in other words, the Ishmaelites are depending on other nations for technology. That's what the Mepharshim explain. Especially today you see this. And the nations are going to need the Arabs for their money. Okay, these two come, there's not too much to talk about, so we'll go quick about it. Tikra Shem Hashem David Eleho. And she called the name of Hashem, meaning the angel that spoke to her. She called him Ata Kelroi. You are the God of vision. Okay? Meaning it was only an angel, but he was Hashem's emissary. So therefore, Hagar, therefore, is considered as if God himself spoke to her. Okay? Now, Hagayim Alein, could I have seen him even here after being seen? Okay, in other words, I can never expected to see God's emissaries here. In Avram's house, it's interesting, the commentators point out that, you know, there's a story in Tanakh with Shimshon, the angel came to the wife of Manoach and said, you're going to have a kid and he's going to be strong and, you know, be a maker, another, the whole birth of Shimshon. So over there it says, they were exclaimed, we're going to die. The husband said, oh, we're going to die, we saw an angel, you know. Hagar didn't get so excited about this. This guy, angel. Why? So like we learned, Hagar was in Avram's house. There were always angels in Avram's house. So she was used to it. Manoach and Mrs. Manoach didn't have any angels ever. So they saw this vision of God. They got all nervous. What's going to be? Maybe we'll get killed or die or seen from this Kedusha. But she was saying, how in the world does an angel of God come here in the desert? I understand, in Avram's house, that's what she was shocked. She said, Hagama lem ra'isi achre ra'i. She says, could I have seen him here, even here after being seen? How in the world can I, here in this part of the world, how in the world can I see an angel? Okay? So he says like this, Okein kara laber. Now the question like this, commentary say, how did she know it was an angel? The angel appeared to her in the human body. Right? Page 72 on top. Okay, now the question is like this. The angel appeared in a human form. So how did she know it was an angel? Maybe it was a prophet. Maybe it was another person. You know, how did she know? So the Radak says, because after he finished talking to her, he disappeared. Just like by Manoach and Shimshon, the Pasuk says, after he told them the prophecy that you're going to have a son and, you know, he's going to be great, that whole story. So when they brought a sacrifice, all of a sudden it says the angel went up with the fire of the sacrifice. So then they understood it couldn't be a human, it had to be an angel. So it says, the Radak says, after the Malach spoke to her, where did he go? He disappeared. So then she understood that it had to be a Malach, it had to be an angel. And therefore she was shocked to say, wow. Therefore, Alkein Kara Laber, therefore, he called, or the well was called, or he called the well, different ways of learning. By the way, it doesn't say who called the name. Because Kara is masculine. So if it's talking about Hagar saying all these things, it would have said Kara, she called. It says Kara means he called, or it was passively called. So Mepharshim explained, Hagar told Avram the story, what happened. And therefore Avram and Sarah understood together to call this Be'er, Be'er Lachai Ra'i. Be'er Lachai Ra'i, we'll soon see what that means. The living one who sees me, the well which had an everlasting angel appeared to me, an angel exists eternally, Lachai means living forever. Or is the name, the well of God is eternal and is the first cause of all existence. All these things, she basically saw the infinite power of Hashem, and therefore she said, the Be'er Lachai Ra'i was the well of the eternity. Lachai means the eternity. It'll be forever. It's interesting, the Mepharshim point out, you know, there's a pasuk we say in Davening, in Yitalacha, V'amartem Koy Lachoy. In Hebrew, there's also an expression, Koy Lachoy, which actually means a hearty greeting. Koy Lachoy, there's a pasuk in Shmuel, V'amartem Koy Lachoy, so meaning, there would be a hearty greeting. What does it mean, a hearty greeting? So it says, the sons of Yishmael, when they met annually at that site for their festivities, in other words, in history, I don't know for how long, but in history, the Mepharshim say that the Arabs used to meet once a year, but that well, where the angel came and told her that she's going to have a kid and his name's Yishmael and that whole thing. So they used to, those, their nation, right? So they would celebrate there, and they would greet each other with the words Kol Lachoy. Huh? Like, Chai, how are you? That's what it was. And where was this well? Ben Kadesh, Ben Barad, between the two cities of Kadesh and Barad. Okay? Okay, here it says, where is this place? It's identified as Ein Muwele, west of Ein Kadesh and 50 miles south of Beersheba. That's where this well took place.
It's like the
Southern tip of Israel. Huh? It's like the Yeah. Yes. Or even below, maybe. Okay. Okay, now we can start. There's more to talk about. But Taylor Hagar Avram Ben. Hagar gave birth to Avram, a child, meaning because she was a maidservant, she didn't feel that she had the son. It was all, for Sarah said, let Avram have a son. So she gave birth to Avram. And Avram called Shem B'nei Anelodlei, Asher Yolda Hagar, mean that the B'nei that Hagar, the wife Hagar gave birth to, he called him Yishmael. Okay? Now, question is, did he know what the angel told her? Did he not know what the angel told her? Did she tell him? Did she not tell him? This is a whole discussion in the Mepharshim, because the obvious question is, if you take it simply, Hagar probably told Avram the story. Correct? And then she told Avram the story. She probably told him that the angel said, we should call Yishmael. So therefore, when Avram named the kid Yishmael, it's because he heard from Hagar that this is what the name was to be. But some of Farshim say no. That this, Rashi says, this that he gave the name Yishmael was prophecy. He didn't know it from Hagar. Or even if he did, he wanted to hear it directly from Hashem, because that Hashem told him, you're going to have this child. Okay? And therefore, Farshim explained, why does Rashi say, why can't Rashi just learn simply that Hagar told Avram? Why does she have to say there was prophecy and all that? So they say an interesting thing. Because if Hagar told Avram that the angel told me to name him Yishmael, Avram would have told Hagar, you name him. Because the angel said, you should name him. The angel said to her, you should call the baby Yishmol. So Rashi says, if the Malach, and if Avram Avinu knew that, Avram Avinu should have said to Hagar, you know what? The angel told you to name the baby, name the baby. Why did Avram name her? So therefore Rashi says that it wasn't Stam that Hagar told him, it was actually prophecy.
Who
said? What parent? There's a very famous dispute between husbands and wives, amongst the many. They have a baby. Who gets first rights for the name? Obviously, you have one husband, one wife, one husband, one wife, right? But who gets the first naming of the first baby?
If you just come to the parents.
Yeah, but what happens if it never happens that the mother has one name in mind and the father has another name in mind, never, and they don't
never.
Seem.
Huh? Never.
Never happens. They never disagree. And then the mother-in-laws get involved. That's even better. Okay, so the question is, who gets the first name? So there's an interesting letter from the Rebbe. The Rebbe quotes later on in Chumash when Yud and Tamar story. It's a very interesting thing. In Yud and Tamar story, you know, Yehuda left the brothers, okay? Okay, so it says like this. And he married this woman, okay? And he said, Vatar Vatelet Bain. She was pregnant, and she called Vayikra. Listen to this. The Pasuk said, Vayikra Eshemoy Ed. He called him Ed. Vatar Ed Vatelet Bain. Vatikra Eshemoy Einon. She called him Einon. That means, Yehuda called the first kid Er, and she called, that's the, Vayikram is he called, and Vatikri she called. So the Das Kenim of Alatasis over there in Vayeshev says that so was the custom in the olden days, that the father had the first name, and then the mother, and then, you know, every other name. So therefore, the Rebbe writes, in a letter, but the custom is not like that. He writes, in a place where there is no custom, that's the way to go. Because that's what Torah says. Yehuda called the first name. His wife called the second name. And Ramban says, that's what Malatesis says, that that's the way it used to be. The husband called the first name, wife called the second name. The problem is, in today's world, the accepted custom, believe it or not, is the wife gets the first name. Unless, unless, you know, father passed away, and he wanted to name, but then it's a different story. Stamazay, if there's no names. So it's interesting, so Avram called him Yishmol.
But the angels told her.
Told her, okay. But the fact that Avram did not tell Hagar to name the baby, so therefore Rashi learns Avram had it with prophecy. Because if Hagar told Avram, the Malach told me to call him Yishmol, then Avram would have told Hagar, then you name him, because that's what the angel commanded you to do. And he didn't do that. Okay, so he called the name Yishmol. But Avram was Ben Shmeinim, Shana, V'Shei Shanim. Avram Avinu was 86 years old. But let us, Hagar is Yishmol Avram, when Hagar gave birth to Avram. Okay, what year, by the way, after creation was this? 2034. I'm talking about the Hebrew dates. Now it's 5780. That was 2034. Now, why does it say over here what age Avram, who cares what age he was over here? Why is it relevant for the Pasuk to say how old he was? So the Mepharshim say this is to give credence and show the greatness of Yishmol. Because in the next few psukim, we'll learn about Avram Avinu having to do a bris. And we know Avram Avinu was 86 when he gave birth to Yishmol, right? How old was Avram Avinu when he did a bris? 99. And then the Pasuk says, he did a bris, Yishmol got a bris, everybody had a bris at that time, right? That means, from there we learn out, how old was Yishmol when he had a bris?
13.
13. Okay? So, to show the so to speak, to the greatness of Yishmael, that even though he was 13, and it's not an 8-day-old baby, you know, a 13-year-old kid hurts, he nevertheless didn't hesitate and he did the breast. Later on, we'll learn what's wrong with that. The difference between Yitzchak's breast and Yishmael's breast is a fundamental difference in ideology of Yiddishkeit between 13 years old and 8 days old, why Jews have to be circumcised at 8 days old. And by the way, a lot of Arabs do it at 13, because that's where Papa Yishmael had his bris at 13. But the only way we know, by the way, that he was 13 is because here it says Avram was 86, and the bris he was 99. So we know that Yishmael was 13 years old. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. And the Mefarshim say that's why it says it. Okay? Another thing the Mefarshim point out, to show us that even though he was an old man, 86, he still had a child. By the way, not only that, he had Yitzchak afterwards. Then he had a bunch of kids from Hagar, from Keturah. Avram fathered a lot of kids later on. But this is to tell the greatness of...
Probably had daughters also.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. But the Mefarshim say even more than that. They say, because this... How long did the Hagar story take? Okay, so the Mefarshim point out, according to the age that Avram was 86 when Yishmael was born, yeah? So we had to know that it all happened in 1 year. Because when did Avram Avinu leave Canaan? When he was 75. 10 years later, when he had no children, what did the Pasuk say? 10 years after he came to Canaan, right? So then he had, so Sarah said, marry Hagar. So how old was Avram Avinu at that time? 85. And when Yishmael was born, after the whole angel story with the whole, you know, thing, so Avram Avinu was 86. So the whole story happened. There's another thing the Mefarshim say. Why are we telling Avram's age? To tell us that this whole story took place in 1 year. Sarah telling Avram to marry Hagar, and that he did, and she even miscarried, and the whole thing, okay? Okay, next. Vayi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'Seisha Shanim. It was when Avram Avinu was 99 years old. Vayera Hashem el Avram, Hashem appeared to Avram. Vayema Elav, and he said to him, Ani Kel Shaddai, I am the name Kel Shaddai, we'll see what that means in a second. Ishalech lefonai, I want you to go before, walk before me, v'yeisamim, you should be perfect, complete. Okay, now, what does it mean over here? Why did Hashem wait until Avram Avinu was 100 to have Yitzchak? So first of all, Hashem wanted that Avram Avinu should have a bris before Yitzchak was born. So you remember, Avram had the bris, the angels came, okay, and they said exactly a year from now you're going to have a baby. So therefore Hashem didn't want Avram to have a baby Yitzchak, Yishmael he didn't care about, but Yitzchak he wanted to be when he was perfect, meaning he had a bris. So therefore Hashem waited until Avram Avinu was 100 years old to be able to give him this thing. Now he says like this, Ani Kel Shaddai, because like we know at the beginning of Parshas Va'eda, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'eda al Avram, al Yitzchak, al Yaakov, b'Kel Shaddai. How did I reveal myself to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? They did it with the name Kel Shaddai. Now, what does Kel mean? Or Shaddai? The Medrash says, what's the name Shindalad Yud? So he said, the Medrash says it stands for Sha'omar La'ilamaydai. When the world was created, the world was expanding. If Hashem didn't stop it, it would keep expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. So Hashem used the name Shin Dalad Yud, meaning Shaddai. Enough, stop, and then the world stopped expanding. Kael is also the name of Chesed. Okay, the name Kel of Hashem Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Vachanun, the name Kel, Aleph, Lamed, is the attribute of Chesed. So, therefore, Hashem, he spoke to them with the concept of Ani Kel Shaddai. Okay? But now Hashem says to Avram also, enough, now you're having the bris, and that's it. Okay? So he says, Ani Kel Shaddai, Isalech Lefane Ve'yetam. Okay, another thing the Mefarshim point out, why did Hashem say to him, go before me and I'll make this covenant? When you, any adult that has a bris gets weakened, obviously. Avraham Avinu 99 for sure got weakened, right? So Hashem promised him, even though you're going to be having a bris now, you will not get weakened and I'll be with you and you'll be able to, the enemy, he was afraid, the enemies, you know what happened, Shimon and Levi with Shechem, the whole city did a bris. And the third day, they killed out the whole city because they were all weak. So Avraham Avinu was thinking to himself, if God doesn't help me, I'm going to do a bris and then all my enemies will kill me and I'll be done. So Hashem promised him, don't worry about it, you're going to be fine. Okay? Isalech lefane ve'yesamim. I want you to be complete. Now, what does it mean? Walk before me. There's two expressions Hashem tells to him. Walk before me and be complete. So what are the two things? Number one, by observing the mitzvah of circumcision. And through this, you will become complete. So before we begin, let's just explain a very interesting concept. There is a Roman general. His name was Tonius Rufus. Famous evil Roman general. He asked Rabbi Akiva the following question. I don't get your God. He creates a baby uncircumcised, and then he makes him circumcise himself. And it says, Moas, the Medrash uses expression, it's the foreskin is despicable by Hashem, and Hashem said, get rid of it and, cut it. So he asked him a very simple question. If Hashem hates the foreskin, why didn't he make a baby born without the foreskin? Very simple. Why did God make a person? To have a foreskin and then you gotta cut it off. Don't make him with it and he won't have to cut it off. I mean, Hashem could have done that very easily. So he said like this. He gave him a marshal. I don't know why they don't bring it down here. But they gave him a marshal. The keeper gave him a marshal and then there's a lesson from it. He said, a person, the husband comes home from the field and brings back raw wheat. Raw wheat. Okay, then whoever is in the house has to make it into flour and bake it. And Hashem doesn't make finished bread growing in the field. Okay, why doesn't Hashem make finished? Hashem should make steak growing in the field, bread growing in the field, cakes, cookies, brownies. I mean, everything could be just growing in the field and pick it off. Shem doesn't do that. He makes, you have to plant a seed, and then you have to do this, and then you have to cut it, then you have to bring it home. Why does Hashem do this? Because Hashem wants to show, and this is the whole concept of Bris Milah. A person is imperfect by nature, and Hashem says, you have to work on yourself to perfect yourself. That's the whole concept of a Bris. That's what he says. The Medrash says, why did God give mitzvahs to Yisrael? The tzarif bohem esabriyes. Tzarif is the word mitzarif akur. When you mine silver or gold from the ground, it's full of junk. So you have to refine it. Right? It's called mitzarif akur and chumash. The tzarif bohem esabriyes, God made all the mitzvahs. Why did God make us have to do mitzvahs? He wants us to perfect ourselves. He wants us to perfect our hands, so you put on tefillin like Shabbos candle. He wants us to protect our head. We have a mitzvah learning to, whatever the mitzvah may be. Right? Hashem wants to perfect our stomach. He makes us have a mitzvah matzah. Whatever the mitzvah may be. The whole purpose of mitzvahs is to refine people to make them better. And therefore Hashem made Avraham Avinu, or every person for that matter, incomplete, that the person realizes that they need to become complete. Through action. And therefore Hashem said to him, Hisalech lefanei, walk before me, like we said, the Mefarshim explained, is by doing mitzvahs, then that you will become complete. Now, so the Mefarshim say an interesting thing. Right now his name was Avram. Avram equals 243. Aleph Beis Reish Mem is 243. The extra hey Avraham is another 5, makes it 248. So Hashem said to him, by having the bris, changing your name to Avraham, then you will be complete in all 248 organs and limbs of your body. So that's why Hashem is changing his name at simultaneous time of the bris milah, because he says, now you can become complete. What's the complete? Completion is you have control, total control over every part of your body, head to toe. So this is what Hashem is telling him. According to the Medrash, you said, this one, by the way, this bris milah is one of the 10 tests that is counted as Avraham Avinu had. Okay? One? Gematria. Okay. Okay. Ve'ed no brisi b'ni v'necha, I will make my covenant between me and you. I'm going to make you tremendously great. Meaning, not only will your fertility diminish by having the bris, but on the contrary, you're going to have more people because of the bris. Okay? Or va'arba doesn't mean, by the way, in numbers. It's talking about the quality of the relationship between Hashem and the Jews through the level of bris milah. Now, what's the concept of a bris, by the way? A covenant. The classic example in today's world is marriage is a covenant. It's a bris. The covenant between husband and wife. David and Jonathan made a bris, you know, after the Haftar of Machar Chedesh, when Shaul wanted to kill David, and Jonathan and David made this bris. The concept of a bris is like this. When things are good, you don't need a covenant. Things are good. What do you need a covenant for? The relationship is good. What's the purpose of a covenant? That when the relationship goes sour, so without the covenant, you dump the relationship. Because there's a covenant, so then the covenant keeps its relationship going, even though when logic dictates it shouldn't be anymore. What's the concept of the institution called marriage? Okay, even though things don't go well, you stay together and work it out. Like that's the concept of marriage, of the bond of marriage. A bond that people make between themselves. Okay, so what's the bond, the eternal bond of relationship between Hashem and the Jews? Is bris milah. You can have two types of covenants, though. You can have a Yishmael covenant at 13, and you can have a Yitzchok covenant at 8 days old. I'm jumping the gun, but by the time we get there, we're probably going to mention it again anyway. And that is as follows. 13 is Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah is adult. 13 represents intellectual comprehension. You understand? 8 days old, trust me, you don't know anything. You don't, there's no seichel. Okay? So therefore, the difference between Yishmael's bond with Hashem that he agreed to do a bris is a covenant based on logic. I understand that I need to make a covenant between me and God. That's what the age of 13 symbolizes. So therefore, yes, he was a great kid. At 13, he still agreed to do a bris. And therefore, the Medrash said Yishmael was making fun when they were teasing, when later on she throws out Yishmael and Hagar from the house, right? Because Yishmael was teasing Yitzchak. He said, I'm greater than you. I had a bris at 13, and you didn't even know what was going on. So Yitzchak answered him, if God would tell me to bring up myself as a sacrifice, I would also do it. You did it with one limb, and I'm willing to bring my whole body, you know, my whole life up to Hashem. Right after that, God made the test of the Akedah. What caused the test of the Akedah to happen? Because Yishmael was teasing Yitzchak that I'm greater than you, I did it at 13 and you didn't. What's the problem with the age of 13? It's only an intellectual bond. And therefore, later on in the Parsha, when Hashem says to him, you're going to have a kid Yitzchak, and Avraham Avinu says, Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanecha, let Yishmael live before you. Right? Halavai, Yishmael should live before you. Avraham Hashem said to him, no, that's not good enough for me. Why not? What's on Yishmael? You can imagine, Hagar was a very great person. Avraham educated him. He probably had the best education possible. Think about it. In Avram's house, Yishmael probably had a fantastic education, fantastic upbringing between Avram and Hagar. What was Hashem against when Avram Avinu said, why do I need Yitzchak? I have Yishmael. Hashem said to him, that relationship with me, I don't want. It's not enough. Let's put it this. It's not enough. Intellectual relationship is not what I want. What do I want? I want a supernatural bond which is above intellect. Above time and place. Above intellect. Therefore, when did Hashem say a bris has to be? 8 days old. What's the problem if he's 7 days old, 6 days old, 5 days old? I mean, you could do a bris earlier. Like, what's the dafkadi in the number 8? So we know, so this explains that the number 7 is days of the week. Right? 7 represents time and place. 8 is the concept of the supernatural. Like the Kliyakri says at the beginning of Pasha Shemini, Vahi Ve'ema Shemini, says a long Kliyakri explaining 7, the number 7 represents time and place. Time, 7 days. Sunday is not the 8th day, it's a new beginning of 7s. Time is divided, divisible by 7. And 8 represents the supernatural. So conceptually, what's the Indian of a bris 8 days old? A bond with Hashem, which is above time and place. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether you intellectually get it, don't get it, you do behave, don't behave. That's only in the intellectual connection. This is a supernatural connection, so therefore it doesn't matter. What? What? And what happens if the father doesn't do the bris?
Then it's upon the child.
Right. So who is the mitzvah originally on? It's a whole discussion in philosophical halacha. Is the mitzvah on the baby, but the baby can't do it, so now the father does it? Or is the mitzvah, on the father. And then later on, if the father didn't do it, then the kid has an obligation to do it himself. To get circumcised. But the bottom line is, either way, Hashem says, I don't want a relationship based on intellect. For a very simple reason. Intellect will kill the bond. Because your intellect one day will dictate not to have the bond, and therefore you won't have the bond. So Hashem said, that's not what I'm interested in. The relationship between Hashem and a Jew is in a way that no matter what happens, it works both ways. There's a covenant between Hashem and us, and between us and Hashem. Which means that even if a Jew is terrible, 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 he still has a bond between him and Hashem. And that's the bris milah. What? One second. What?
It's not bad. Is it also that it's not upon the mother, it's upon the father?
The mother is not obligated to do the bris.
So then, what is there's
so the obligation is on Beis Din. Same thing with opinion of Ben, by the way. What happens if the father dies before the opinion of Ben? Okay, the kid needs opinion of Ben. It's not on the mother. Because she doesn't have the mitzvah of Mila, and she doesn't have the mitzvah of opinion of Ben, so she can't do it. So Beis Din, that becomes the apotropis administrator for orphans, basically, the obligation goes on them. It could fall, no, that depends. There's a whole argument if a mother is obligated to chinuch or not. Yes or no, it's a big argument in halacha. Most opinions say the mother is not obligated, even though practically, like the Rebbe spoke in Living Torah this week. Practically speaking, are you in there? Practically speaking, the mother is the one that educates the child when they're little. Who educates the child when they're little? The mother. Until 6 years old, the Gemara says it's sarach l'ime. A child, both boy and girl, by the way, until they're 6 years old, still needs the mother. After that, they only need the father, if it's a boy. We said, last week, God forbid, there's a divorce, not in secular system of custody. Oh, the Gemara class, okay.
Right. Disgusting.
I'm not talking about secular custody, which is the way it's done today in everywhere, but I'm saying in true blue halacha, let's say. Okay? A couple doesn't have a civil marriage, you only get married according to halacha, and now they get divorced. Who has custody?
Mother.
Sure? Okay, so the din is like this. This is what the halacha is. The Gemara says it, and the halacha in Shulchan Aruch says it. Until six, whether it's boy or girl, goes to the mother. After six, the girl goes to the mother, and the boy goes to the father. That's the norm. I'm not saying there are no exceptions to the rule, you know, whatever. But that's the. It's not done today because today we have a civil system.
It's more important that than keeping the children together
in
the same family. Like, girls going
to school. From it's not for now, but yeah, in Torah perspective, yeah. A girl needs the mother, over six, I'm saying. A girl needs the mother, the boy needs the father, and that's it. But again, in today's world, it's not done because it has to go through the courts because Beis Din doesn't have the ability to enforce anything. In custody, practically speaking, so it has to go through the courts. What?
When a Gerah does a Brit Milah, does he have the same non-intellectual bond? Hashem,
No, because he wasn't obligated until then.
But he still becomes a Jew.
What with women? Do women have a Brit bond with God or not? I'm asking you. So the Gemara says in Aveidah Zarah, Nashim command the Mal Yadami. Women are considered circumcised. So it's not that women lose out in this covenant of relationship between Hashem and them. They are inborn. They're inborn, if that's the correct English word, which I doubt. They're inborn with this bond between Hashem and them. By being born a girl. Because Gemara says, it's not that the women are missing. Noshim command the mal yadami means women are considered circumcised. So whatever this covenant does, that accomplishes it for them too. Okay, so I'm going to multiply your children a lot. So the Pasuk says like the V'yipal Avram Aponav, and because of the, you know, the awe of the presence of Hashem, V'yipal Avram Aponav, and he fell on his face, V'yidaber Elokim Liman, Hashem spoke to him. Okay? Now, over here, until he was, why did he have to fall on his face? Because the Mepharshim explained, Rashi says, Targum Innocent says, that because he didn't have a bris yet, he didn't have the ability to stand when the Holy Spirit was above him. Because he wasn't complete. He had this foreskin, the arla, the foreskin. By the way, just while we're off topic, right? if you look in Chumash, there's a lot of psukim that are very interesting. It says, "Umaltem es arlas levavchem." Hashem says to the Jew, you should circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Now, what does that verse mean? Don't cut your heart. But the Torah says, "Umaltem es arlas levavchem." You have to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Sometimes it says, "Umal Hashem alakecha es levavcha ves levav zerecha." These are all psukim in Chumash later on, right? Hashem will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. What does that mean? What it got circumcising the heart? Right? So the expression again is the intellect of a person by nature. Hashem created a human being, not only a Jew, a human being is born that intellect stimulates feelings. It's called Marach Shalat Alalev. Intellect stimulates feelings, meaning if you meditate into the kindness of somebody, you will love them. If you meditate into the power of somebody, you will fear them. Right? So what stimulates love and fear and all the meanness of the heart, it actually is the concept of the intellect. That's why. Okay, so let's do this. So therefore, umaltem asarlas levavchem mean like this. Sometimes a person can have intellectual stimulation, thinking into God. But the heart doesn't get turned on. Somehow, according to nature, the feelings are supposed to be felt, supposed to be stimulated by the intellectual level. So why isn't it? Sometimes the heart has a foreskin over it that doesn't allow, not physical, conceptual, it doesn't allow the intellectual intellect to stimulate the heart because there's a blockage of the foreskin of evil that doesn't allow, or like it says in the Pasuk, Vasireisi esleva evem mikibachem. Hashem said, I will remove the stone heart from you. What do you mean a stone heart? What does it mean a stone heart? When you pour water on a stone, it bounces off. It doesn't go through the stone, right? Sometimes you pour on a heart, intellect or whatever it is, and it just bounces off. It doesn't do anything to the heart. The heart doesn't get stimulated. So Hashem says, what do you need to do? Umaltem es arlas levavchem, and you need to circumcise your heart, meaning to remove those blockages that don't allow the intellectual stimulation to permeate the heart. That's also the bris that a Jew does on a daily basis. It's supposed to be doing on a daily basis.
Another word when we say circumcise for part of the heart, is like to become more kind, to be more aware.
To remove the blockage of the heart, just like the foreskin covers. This covers the heart that doesn't allow the heart to be things to be penetrating the heart. You have to undo the foreskin.
To be kind, to become more aware. What does mean when you say it?
What happens if somebody thinks a lot about the importance of being kind, but it doesn't affect them to be kind? What happens? Why didn't the intellect stimulate the heart, the feelings? Because it's a blockage. Now the blockage could be a lot of blockages. You have, it's called between the head, which is wider, and the body, which is wider, you have the narrowness of the neck. It's called in Hebrew, Meitzad HaGoron, the narrowness of the neck. Meitzad HaGoron is a concept of Mitzrayim. Meitzah, right? What does that mean? From the intellectual stimulation to get to the heart, it needs a channel. It needs a vein, you know? Sometimes the vein is too narrow, so to speak. I'm talking not literally, figuratively. The throat doesn't allow, and what is that? The Meitzah HaGoron Mitzrayim, the limitation, the oppression, and all that. How do you say back of the neck in Hebrew? Ha'oref. I'm Kshe'oref, right? Stubborn neck people. Ha'oref is the same letters as Pari. What blocks the stimulation of the head into the heart? It could be the heart is covered with stone, foreskin, you gotta cut, get rid of it. It could be the throat, meaning the Pari, the Mitzrayim, the limitation. Different things can cause different things to happen. So whatever it is, you need to get rid of it. But this explains what we learned many times, that there's a mitzvah to turn loving God, fearing God, yeah, loving another Jew, yes? So the Maggid asks the famous mitzvah, the Mizrach of the Maggid asks the famous question. I can't command you to love. I can command you to do. I could say, eat this even though you don't want to. I could say, don't eat it even though you do want to. I can command you to do something and not to do something. Because that's not dependent on love. But how can I command you on a feeling? I don't love God. Do me something. What am I supposed to do? I don't love. Is there an unbutton? Well, how can there be a mitzvah you have to say, Shemel Kecha, love God. He wasn't nice to me. I don't like him. What do you want me to do? Lie and say I do love him? That's not what it's all about. So the Maggid said, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha comes after the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Hashem Echad. The mitzvah which a person could do is meditate into Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Hashem Echad. How great Hashem is, seven heavens, earth, four corners, you know, the whole thing. Then the Maggid says, the Yahavtas in Hebrew doesn't only mean you should love, Yahavtas means you will love. So the Maggid says the mitzvah of Avos Hashem and Avos Yisrael, the same way, by the way, is to realize intellectually why I have to love Hashem. And if you do that, you will love Hashem. Sometimes you have the intellectual stimulation and the Ava doesn't work. So we said there's blockages along the way, the throat, the stone heart, or the foreskin of the heart, whatever it is. And that's the concept of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is in that particular limb. But the concept of a bris is on all aspects of the Jew. Okay. Vayidaber Ito Elokim, Hashem spoke to him. Okay, he brings on an interesting Malbim. The Malbim says, you know, Hashem has a lot of names. But what do we say? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We don't say Hashem Avram, Hashem Yitzchak, Hashem Yaakov. We don't say Kel Avram, Kel Yitzchak, Kel Yaakov. We say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So he says, why? Because the Malbim explains. That's the God that created the world, and therefore Elohim is 86, which is nature and all that stuff. So he says, when a person demonstrates God's holiness, he becomes an extension of God. And therefore it says, Vayidaber Itay Elohim. You know, Itay means, normally it should have said, Vayidaber Elov Elohim. Hashem spoke to him. Ito literally means with him. He says, meaning a joint action or partnership. In other words, Vayidaber Itay Elokim Lemar, Itay means with him. Hashem said to Avram, let's have a partnership. I want you to make my godliness in the world, me and you together. And therefore it's interesting because grammatically, the word ito is not correct. It says, Vayidaber Elov Hashem. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe. Right? It should say, Vayidaber Elov Elokim. Ito means with him. Hashem says, what you are accomplishing in the world to bring godliness into the world, completed through Bris Milah, is together with me and you. Like we learned when Hashem said, let us create man, Na'asa Adam, what's the plural? Right? There's the whole thing. One of the interpretations, why Taka did Hashem tell him to write Nasa Adam? Let us make men. So Twersky brings down his book. It's a beautiful explanation. He says, Hashem says to the person, me, let us make you man. Me and you together will make you Adam, will make you man. I'm not doing it myself, and you can't do it yourself. So Nasa Adam, Hashem says, let us together make man. And that's what Vayidabu Ito Lekim before Hashem says the same thing. Hashem says, me and you together are going to do this. Okay.